So I noticed there's only like 10 minutes left in the morning service, and I have like a lot of pages of notes, and so I don't know if I can get this done or not. We'll see what happens, but we'll see how the Spirit leads. I guess you'll notice there are no note sheets in your bulletins. There's a blank half sheet if you haven't given that away to some kid ready to color on, that you can jot some stuff down. But if you're joining us for the first time, we've been going through a series called Believe. We're actually 18 weeks into our Believe study, more than halfway through. Hard to believe. And so we finished the first 10 weeks where we talked about what we were to think or what we were to believe. And now we've been going through for the last 8 weeks here on how we should act, the key practices of our beliefs. And I don't know if you noticed as we've been going through these, but there's been a shift in the key ideas from week to week as we've gone through. And so let me just remind us for you. And so there's kind of one point I think is kind of pivotal. And I'm sure you'll pick it out, and actually I'll even point it out. But if we're to go back, the first week, as far as the things that we were to act, the key practices, is number one, we're to worship. And it says, I will worship God for who He is and what He has done for me. These should be on the screen for us. Hopefully you can follow along. Number two, pray. I pray to God to know Him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my requests before Him. Number three, Bible study. I study the Bible to know God and His truth, and to find direction for my daily life. Number four, single-mindedness. Inside joke, you should have been here 3 or 4 weeks ago. Alright, in single-mindedness, I focus on God and His priorities for my life. And so here's kind of the shift that we make. Number five, Pastor Dean covered this one, total surrender. I dedicate my life to God's purposes. Biblical community. I fellowship with Christians to accomplish God's purposes in my life, in the life of others, and in the world. Spiritual gifts. I know my spiritual gifts and use them to fulfill God's purposes. Offering my time. I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. Giving my resources. I give my resources to fulfill God's purposes. And sharing my faith. I share my faith with others to fulfill God's purposes. I think you hopefully picked up on the little phrase that was repeated over and over in all of those. I mean, the first four were more about an internal process, an internal growing, until we get to that point of total surrender. Total surrender. Just like, similar to like the great commandment that God laid out for us, that Jesus laid out for us, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we see that first part, we are to focus on God, focusing our relationship with God. And the second part is our relationship with others. I mean, again, similarly is the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are dealing with our relationship with God, and the next six are dealing with our relationship with others. And so very similar in these ten acts, these ten acts of our belief, the first five are kind of dealing with our relationship with God, and the next ones are dealing, how do we then, as a community of believers, then go about fulfilling God's purposes? So total surrender, that's kind of, I guess in my mind, that shifting point, that key shift, where we finally say, I dedicate my life to God's purposes. I'm going to dedicate what I do and everything that I do to God's purposes. So I think once we reach that point, once we finally come to that acceptance, once we believe on Jesus, believe in His substitutionary sacrifice for us, taking our place, taking our sins, taking our punishment, we accept that, we confess our sins, we ask Jesus for forgiveness, we ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of our life, our punishment has been paid for, and the Holy Spirit then comes and lives within us. We make that commitment of total surrender to God. And from then on, we're really not our own. We've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who have you received from God. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We've been bought with a price. The punishment's been paid for. We've been purchased. God is now both our Creator and our Savior. Warren Wiersbe said it this way. He says, we belong to the Father who made us, the Son who redeemed us, and the Spirit who indwells us. We are bought at a price. That statement is referring to a slave being purchased, say from a market or just from another person. But God isn't making us a slave. I mean, we were slaves. We were slaves to our sinful nature. In fact, Jesus said in John 8:34, he says, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But we are no longer slaves. He's not forcing us into service. It's our choice. Because we choose to accept Him. We choose to receive this free gift of salvation. And by Jesus going to the cross and again paying our penalties for our sin, Jesus has bought our freedom. We simply just don't change masters, change hands over from one slave master to another. Jesus has set us free. He's paid the price. I guess maybe a poor illustration might be if you go to the pet store and you buy all the pets at the pet store and then just let them go. If you really want a great example about being set free from our sins, read Romans 6. I'm just going to read one verse from it, but Romans 6:22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. He has paid the price, He's bought our freedom, and we reap benefit from it when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. But it's still, again, our choice to surrender our lives to Him. We should want, because of that, we should want to serve God with our time, serve God with our bodies. In fact, when I was kind of studying through this, it reminded me of, in the Old Testament, when God was dictating to Moses the law, telling them all how they are to live. He's wanting to separate them from the rest of the nations. And He says, here's what I want you to do. Here's the things that you need to do to be a different nation, a holy nation, my people. And in fact, so during that time or throughout the history, they weren't supposed to take slaves of each other. In other words, they couldn't enslave another Hebrew. It was forbidden for them to do that. And so, but if a Hebrew was down in his luck, he could go to his neighbor and ask for help. And they're to give to that person generously. And if the one Hebrew borrowed from the other couldn't pay it back, he could then offer himself and say, can I work for you? Can I work off my debt working for you? And that person was then to take that person on. And for 6 years, he was supposed to work for that person without pay. And that essentially would release him from his debt. And so after 6 years, he was to be set free. And not only set free, but he was also to be given provisions, seed and food and animals, whatever he would need to help him get started. But there was another little part that God threw in there. In Deuteronomy 15:16-17, he says, but if your servant says to you, in other words, he's setting him free, he goes, but if your servant says to you, I don't want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, he says, take it all and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he'll become your servant for life. Do the same for your female servant. And so when you accept God's free gift, when you're saying, God, I love you, I don't want to leave you. My life is so much better in your care than my own. I'm giving up myself, giving your life to God, that total surrender, dedicating my life to God's purposes. It's essentially what you're saying. God, I am so much better in your care than I am on my own. And luckily, God doesn't shove an awl through your ear. But what He does is actually even better. Because He sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And now our body is a temple for that Holy Spirit. Because if you remember, the temple was God's home. It was God's dwelling place. It's where God's Spirit dwelt. It was the place of worship, of Bible study, a place of sacrifice. of prayer and communion with God, a place where we could focus our attention on Him. It's also a place of giving and of healing and having community with others. And also of service toward God. Body is not your own. You're bought at a price, Holy Spirit. And we are to serve God now with our bodies. We are to lead and be a service to God with our bodies, with each other. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Jesus came here to serve. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And each of us has a part. Last week we talked about spiritual gifts. You know, I know my spiritual gifts and I use them to fulfill God's purposes. We all have been given a gift. We all have been given a talent. We are to use those to fulfill God's purposes. Last week we looked at Romans 12, 4 through 8 last week. I'm not going to read it this morning. But talk about we each have a body. Which, you know, as one body, we all are many members. We all have many parts. We all have to be working together. And we are to use our gifts to fulfill God's purposes. So we have biblical community, spiritual gifts, offering our time, our resources, sharing our faith, all these things to fulfill God's purposes. Maybe you're asking, what is God's purpose? Well, as I spoke earlier, you know, we have the Great Commandment. It tells us to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor. And we also have the Great Commission, where he tells us to go and make disciples of all the nations. You know, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. That is God's purpose for us. And it's going to look different for each person because we all have different lives. We all live different ways and have different communities that we associate with, different people that we associate with. So it's going to look a little different, but it all should have the same goal, right? And so what are you led to do? How are you going to offer your time to God? Your time. Man, that's probably not even a great title, quite frankly, or offer my time. It's really not our time, is it? It's God's time. He's the one that gives it to us. We are to be simply stewards of what God has given to us. Because he's the one that gives us life and abilities for each and every day. Because remember, we're not our own. We're bought at a price. We're supposed to honor God then with our bodies. So we need to realize, we need to remember that our time on this earth is short. Psalm 39, 4-5, David says, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth, for the span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure." Our time on this earth is so short. And it's something that we can't control. I mean, as much as we'd love to, you know, some of us would love to buy more time. Or some of us wish we could stop time or speed up time. But time is something that is constant. It's always moving forward. Not that you don't know this, but you know there's 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 and a quarter days in a year. Yes, there's a quarter, so we have a leap year, which is this year. But God knows how long we have on this earth. Psalm 139:16 says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Job 14:5, "A person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed." But again, we have a choice in how we use those, how we use each and every day. Unfortunately, we kind of have a tendency to measure time in years. You know, every year there's a birthday that comes up, and so we celebrate that birthday every year. But the Bible tells us to number our days. Psalm 90:12 teaches to number our days. And so we are to spend our days investing our time in things that are eternal. Matthew 6:19-20 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And so what are we doing with our time? What are you doing with your time? How are you spending it to fulfill God's purposes? And there's nothing wrong with making plans. There's nothing wrong with having a schedule. We all could probably use one. But are we submitting our plans to God? Or are we seeking God first before we set our time, set our schedule? I mean, because we can plan all that we want, but it's God's plans that's going to ultimately prevail. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God's purposes always prevail. John Wesley said this, he goes, realizing the future is uncertain, not only teaches us to trust God, but it helps us to properly value the present. And so listen to those first five key ideas again, where it says, I will worship God for who He is and what He has done for me. I pray to God to know Him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my requests before Him. I study the Bible to know God and His truth, and to find direction for my daily life. I focus on God and His priorities for my life. And I dedicate my life to God's purposes. Are these the ideas? Are these the practices that govern you? That guide you? That guide you in your daily walk? I mean, maybe you feel like your life is maybe on hold right now. You're not really sure what God wants you to do. You're not really sensing His leading in any direction. But are we seeking that direction regardless? Now, I stuck to Bible study, prayer. I pray to know God's direction. I study His Word to find God's direction. Because no matter where we're at, no matter if we feel stuck or not, God still has a purpose for us. We're still to love Him, love our neighbors. We're still to be making disciples. We're still to help the body and the church. Maybe it's just helping in the nursery or helping at the rehab center, or being a greeter on Sunday mornings, or helping on Wednesday nights, or serving pizza, making coffee. We need not to see these as just busy, meaningless tasks while we're waiting for God's grander direction. Because there is no unimportant role in God's kingdom. Remember, we're all a body with many parts, many members, all doing a job together. And who knows, by helping these ministries, or possibly allowing others to hear the gospel for the first time. I mean, because someone's watching a baby in the nursery, it's hopefully allowing a mom and dad to be able to come in here and sit and relax and be able to hear God's message. I know I've quoted this many times before, but Wayne Cadero, in his book about a healthy church, talks about we're to connect everything that we do to a soul. Because there's nothing meaningless. There's no meaningless task in God's kingdom. We each have a part to play, a purpose to fulfill. So I dedicate my life to God's purposes. I fellowship with Christians to accomplish God's purposes in my life. I know my spiritual gifts and use them to fulfill God's purposes. I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. How are you spending your time? I like how the Believe book ended this chapter with these two passages, and I'm going to just use these in closing. Ephesians 5:15-17, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In Galatians 6:7-10, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we truly would utilize the time that you've given us on this earth, Lord, for your purposes, to fulfill what you have called us to do, not only individually, but as a church, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that we would just, maybe it's today, that we just need to surrender our lives to you. lay our calendar before you, Lord. And to live each day, maybe it's our last, or if it's the one moment, or the one time that somebody might hear your gospel, Lord. Somebody might hear your love story. And so, Father, I pray that you would just encourage us and embolden us, Lord, to share our faith with those around us too. To live each day for you. And to find those moments, Lord, that we can maybe be into somebody's life, or maybe even just be a helping hand to somebody. Offering them a cup of cold water in your hand. And Lord, we thank you for our time this morning. And thank you for your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.